If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of James. Would you do that? Book of James, chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. Hebrews, James, and then Peter. Good to have you tonight in the house of the Lord. There are several people sick, and I know this time of year, I noticed tonight when I was sitting down there, and I know Hannah will be going back to school for long, but it's good to see you on Sunday night. I missed you. I know what's going on, and I know where you're at. That don't keep me from missing you. Amen. It was just so good to see her tonight, and I know she'll probably be in a week or two headed right back again to school, so we appreciate our young people and appreciate their faithfulness. I want to read in James chapter 4, there's 17 verses, let's just read them tonight. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. I've misquoted that verse for years. I thought there was a word own in there, upon your own lust, but it's not there. You may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. I remember some time back when God taught me that the key to resisting the devil is not to try to resist the devil, but to try to draw nigh to God. Amen. The Lord can handle him. But the Bible said, and draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy, and sell, and get gain. I guess that continue there a year is kind of something that jumped out at me, just looking ahead at another year. And then the Bible said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. May God add his blessings to the reading of the word tonight. Let's pray together for just a moment. Father, I pray that as we give our attention to this passage of Scripture tonight, for just a little while, you'll speak to our hearts concerning our Lord. Lord, the year that's past and the year that's ahead, Lord, unless you come or unless you take us home, we pray, God, that we would face the year with purpose, face the year with hope, and face the year, Lord, with a determination, Lord, a Holy Ghost determination to mind you, Lord, to do what you would have us to do to please you. God, I humbly want to thank you for the good year that you've given us. God, I pray
Lord, if we're standing here a year from now, once again, Lord, we could humbly bow our heads and thank you for another good year. God, you've allowed us to see a few people saved, a few lives changed. Lord, it's been a good year. And we thank you, God, for your people, for the fellowship that we have through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray now, God, tonight, help us in this message. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to give you five things tonight in this chapter. There are more than five things, but there are five things that I want to pull out tonight and draw our attention to that I believe we ought to give attention to in this year coming up. And the first thing that I want to draw your attention to is that we need to give attention to the fight. To the fight. The Bible starts off here in chapter number four, verse number one. It said, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" And I did a little research upon the history of what's going on here in the book of James. And God's people had begun to kind of infight and fight over doctrine and fight over different things, fight over special days, and just fighting, amen. And James talked about why the fight. He talked about their lust. In other words, they wanted to be right. There was a fight going on within them. And by the way, there's a fight going on within every believer. But that, if it's kept in check by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, will keep the fight from going on among the believers. How many knows what I'm talking about right there? Amen. And so he said, "From whence come wars and fightings? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and you have not, and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not." I'm going to give you a couple things here in this passage about the fight. First of all, I want to say the fight is a result of the absence of prayer. I tell you what, if I'm praying for you, it's going to be about an impossibility for me to stand and fight with you. Amen. And I believe that sometimes that we as God's people, we forget who the enemy is. Amen. And we need to remember that lots of times it comes because of the absence of prayer. But then you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Lots of times the fight is a result of the presence of pride. Amen. I've got to be right. Can I tell you something right now? There's only one that's right all the time. Amen. I say this jokingly a lot. I thought I was mistaken once, but I was wrong. Amen. That's a joke. Amen. Please, that's a joke. Don't get sick on me there in the pew. Amen. No, we are wrong from time to time, and sometimes we can't admit it because of our pride or the absence of prayer. I read this, and it said just before the battle of, I never heard of this till I read it, Trafalgar in 1805. How many's ever heard of the Battle of Trafalgar? You said, "You have, Miss Eve?" Oh, you make me sick. Them educated people, they make me sick. Amen. Amen. Well, she's probably a history teacher too. Amen. The British naval hero, Lord Nelson, he learned that an admiral and a captain in his fleet were not on good terms. Sending for the two men, he placed the hands of the admiral and the captain together. He made them shake hands. Then looking them both in the face, he said, "Look, yonder is the enemy." Yeah. Now, I'm just picking on Brother Ralph and Brother Houston, but when they get to fighting in this year coming up, I'm going to get them together, make them shake hands with one another and say, "Boys, look, yonder is the enemy." Amen. 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 Y'all fighting all the time, ain't you, Brother Ralph? Amen. I've never heard Brother Ralph say one unkind word about Brother Houston or the other way around. That's why I felt safe picking on him tonight. Amen. But don't we forget sometimes that the enemy's out there. Amen. Where the brethren are not the enemy. So give attention to the fight. And we do need to fight the good fight of faith. And we do need to fight the flesh. Amen. But you can't fight the flesh in the flesh. You must fight the flesh in the spirit. and we must fight the good fight of faith in the Spirit. So I say give attention to the fight, number one. Number two, in the chapter, I want to say give attention to our friendships. The Word of God said here, ye adulterers and adulteresses. By the way, I believe this is primarily speaking of spiritual adultery. Now, that doesn't mean it's only speaking of it, but Israel was bad, if you'll read the Old Testament over and over, to play the whore, so to speak, or to be unfaithful to the God of heaven, and thereby committing spiritual adultery. And so he said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is at enmity with God? I want to say this tonight. There used to be in pulpits across America a whole lot of preaching about not being a friend to this world that we live in. Amen. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I believe we could have an old-time Holy Ghost revival, amen, but not until we're just determined that we're not going to be in love with this present world. It's not our home. Our home is up yonder, amen, where the Lord Jesus is, and we're just passing through down here. We need to give attention to our friendships. You know something, that I don't say this lightly tonight, Brother Charles and Sister Sonia are here, but I picked up on something in that card, and Abram's already said it to me one-on-one. He said so much, not in exact words, but he knows now who his friends are. Ain't that right? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, we could have some real friends, amen, in this world. I had a man say to me one time, he said, if you've got that many real friends, and he held his hand up. He didn't say it to me. He was teaching a class. He said, if you've got that many real friends in this world, you're blessed. I'll tell you this, I must be blessed upon blessed upon blessed upon blessed, or I'm the biggest fool that ever walked in shoe leather. I thank God for my friends, amen, that I have in this world. Amen. Thank the Lord for them. Give attention to our friendship. The Bible said, whosoever will be a friend of the world is enemy of God. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Listen, let's not be guilty in this year of committing spiritual adultery. Amen. Let's not do that. Let's keep the Lord first and make Him our first love in our life. And then we need to give attention to our fellowship, number three. If we look down in verse number 6, the Bible said, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He said in verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I read this today, and boy, it blessed my heart. There's a man by the name of John Flavel that said this. He said, they that know God will be humble. And he said, they that know themselves cannot be proud. I say amen to that right there. Amen. If we know ourselves, that'll keep us from being proud. And if we know God, I tell you, that song, Sister Danita, that you sang, that humbles me. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Amen. When you know him in the free pardon of sin, it's no longer about you. It's about him and about what he's doing in your life. Amen. There was a moderator in a service that introduced some missionaries, and he told a large congregation, this was about Hudson Taylor, he told all that Taylor had accomplished in China, and then he presented him as our illustrious guest. He's calling on Hudson Taylor to come up to the platform, and he presents him as our illustrious guest. And Hudson Taylor stood quietly for a moment, and then he opened his message by saying this. He said, dear friends, I'm a little servant of the illustrious guest. Hallelujah. Amen. He just wanted everybody to know that he was kind of like the movie Chefy, just a servant of the Lord. Amen. He was a servant of the one that was the illustrious guest. When we meet together, he is the illustrious guest. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Fellowship with God will result in humility. The Bible said He giveth more grace. God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. If we'll give attention to our fellowship, fellowship with God will result in humility. But then fellowship with God, listen, will resist the enemy. It will resist the enemy. You can't shake hands with God and shake hands with the enemy at the same time. Amen. If we'll walk with God, it'll help us to be humble. And if we'll walk with God, it'll help us. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So we need to give attention to our fellowship. And then number four, I'm just going down the line here as the Lord spoke to my heart. We need to give attention to our family, especially the family of God. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Well, I tell you, I believe if there's anything that grieves the Holy Spirit, it's for one brother to speak evil of another brother. I thank my God. I've been here, I guess, for almost 3 years now. That's not going on. I tell you, if you want the blessed Holy Spirit to take wings and fly, I tell you, He'll go out of here so fast it'll make your head spin. We start talking about one another, downing one another, judging one another. Amen. I believe tonight God wants us to give attention. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother judges his brother. Speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. Now listen to me carefully. Somebody might think something like this. They might say, well, preacher, you do an awful lot of preaching against this and against that and against this. I'm not judging anyone when I'm preaching against sin. Amen. God is the judge. Amen. And listen, let me just say this tonight. This preacher is not going to get in this pulpit and knowing that you're guilty of something. Are you listening to me? If I need to talk to you, I'm going to talk to you, but it's not going to be from right here. But I'm not going to quit preaching against sin because we're all guilty of it. Amen. Amen. What I'm saying is this. I'm not going to point that at an individual. If I know somebody's shacking up and I need to talk about shacking up, I'll be talking to them. I won't be getting in this pulpit and trying to make them feel as low as a snake's belly. Amen. I'll preach the word of God, and what I like is not knowing and just preaching liberty. Amen. And let God do the work. He's got to do it anyway. Amen. We need to know. We get our hands on it. 99 out of 100 times we'll mess it up, if not more than that. Amen. Let's give attention to our fellowship. Fellowship is precious. Let's give attention to our family. And the Bible said there's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Somebody tell me what his name is. That's Jesus. Amen. He said, fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. I made a mistake with our first two children. I made a bad mistake. I'm being honest. Brother Chris, I taught them that in so many ways and in so many words that they're going to answer to their daddy. How many's ever made a mistake like that? But you see, there's a problem with that. Daddy can't always be there. Daddy won't always know. It's a whole lot better to teach your children you're going to answer to God. God sees everything. He hears everything. He knows everything. Amen. And we need to teach them that we're going to give an account. And my friend, in the family of God, we're going to give an account to the lawgiver. Then number five, and I'll be finished tonight. Not only in this year do I believe the Bible said here, continue there a year in verse number 13. Give attention to the fight. Give attention to our friendships. Give attention to our fellowship. Give attention to our family, especially the family of God. And by the way, that's in the Bible too, talking about the house of God. I can't remember exactly how it's worded, but it's there. And then I want to give you this, number five. We need to give attention to the finish line. Someone in this congregation tonight may cross the finish line before this time next year. It may be your pastor. I have no promise of another breath, let alone another day. Amen. Someone in this congregation, we need to give attention to the finish line. I heard an old preacher say years ago, not many people, if any, will remember how you started. He said, but there'll be a bunch of people going to remember how you finish. Oh, God, help us to finish well. Amen. Help us. I appreciate our people. I appreciate our Bible. I appreciate our Lord and our Savior. But there's a finish line that we're all going to face one day after a while. Look at verse 13. He said, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Brother Steve, my daughter mentioned the class this morning. I'm not saying this to build you up. It's just the truth. But you had something to say about when you leave one church, there's that part of finding another church and finding the where God wants you to go and things of that. So many times, people, that's the last thing down on the list when it ought to be the first thing up on the list. Is there a good church in that area? Amen. But here, the Bible didn't say anything spiritual. We're going to continue there a year and pray and serve the Lord. No, it's all about the things of this world. We're going to buy and sell and get gain. And James is rebuking them for that. He's rebuking them. Go to now, you that say today or tomorrow we'll go in such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now listen, these youngins here, every one of them may love school. They may love high school and be looking forward to college. But I'm going to tell you what, when I was in high school, I didn't love it. I didn't. I did not. My daddy told me when I was in the 10th grade, he said, son, he said, it ain't going to be long. And he said, time's going to be a flying by. Them last 2 years of high school, it seemed to me like it took 20 years to get them over with. Amen. I finally got out of high school. I graduated, believe it or not, but I did. But you know what? I found out that Daddy's right. I tell you, I had a sweetheart in high school, and I married her. Amen. And things just began to snowball. It seemed like we turned around about twice. And there was a little baby. We turned around two more times and there was another little baby. Then it seems like there was a little gap of about 8 years and here come two more little babies. And now the little babies are having little babies. And I'm soon to be a papaw 9 times. I'd just like to stop and honor my father and in honor of the word of God and say, Daddy is right. Life is just a vapor. It's here for a little while. And then it vanishes away. How we need to pay attention to the finish line. Even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Years ago, I heard a little story. I don't know if it's true or not. It may have been something somebody made up to illustrate a point. But they said a fella had a horse. He was walking down the road leading that horse, and an old man was sitting up on the porch. He walked by the old man's porch, and the old man said, son, where are you going? He said, I'm going up here to sell this horse. He said, son, you really shouldn't say that. He said, son, what you ought to say is, the Lord willing, I'm going up here and sell this horse. The boy looked up, the young man looked up at the old man, and he said, "Sir," he said, "I don't mean any disrespect." He said, "I got the horse and the man's got the money, and I'm going up here to sell this horse." Amen. He went up around the bend. He come back a little while. Somebody jumped him, beat him up, stole his horse. He come back in a real sheepish-like way, and the old man said, "Son, where are you going?" He said, "Lord willing, I'm going home." Lord willing, Jesus don't come, we'll get to spend another year in the work of God. Brother Kenny, seeing who else we can find. Amen, brother. Who else we can help? We need to give attention to the fight. Give attention to our friendships. Give attention to our fellowship. Give attention to our family. And give attention to the finish line. The Bible said, "But now you rejoice in your boastings." They were bragging about it. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I don't know about you tonight. I'm reminded, Brother Lowell, of something you said to me probably a year and a half ago. Brother Lowell looked at me and said, "Preacher, I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat." And that's true when you think about the severity. Amen. But we're all the believers, all the born again, all the blood washed, will stand one day before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good, whether they be evil. The other night I tried to illustrate to the grandchildren. Brother John, I really think this spoke to those boys' heart. I said, "Boys, what if your mama bought you something, and she did for Christmas, and you unwrapped it, give it back to her, and told her you didn't want it? Isn't that what's going on when people reject Christ? The gift of God is eternal life. He won't force it on no one." But the reason that thought come to my mind thinking about the judgment seat is because what this preacher believes is this: we can have a reward. By the grace of God, we can have a reward. The Bible, I don't know if I can remember them all, but it talks about a crown of righteousness, a crown that's incorruptible, a crown of glory, a crown of life. Anybody remember that other one? There's five of them in the Bible. Anybody remember the other one? A crown of what, honey? A crown of rejoicing. I think that's kind of the pastor's crown, isn't it? I'm not sure. Or not even, yeah, I get mixed up on them. But if we get a crown, if I understand the Bible, the 24 elders laid their crowns at his feet. Years ago, the first church I pastored in Wise, Virginia, we had a Bible school. I don't remember exactly what the theme was, but in the
closing program, we tried our best to depict the judgment seat of Christ. We took the description of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 and sat a man up in the baptistry. He was behind the curtain. And in the end of the program, all the children, they had Burger King crowns that week. They took the paper Burger King crown, and then we put in some gold around the front of it, a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory, a crown of rejoicing. And from the little ones all the way up to the teenagers, this was part of the program. They were to come up one side and go before the throne and bow and lay their crowns. Myself, my wife, the man that played Jesus, and the lady that was directing the Bible school are the only ones that knew what was behind that curtain and what was going to be opened. If I never moved from where I'm standing, when they opened that curtain, people went, oh. And those children, they walked up there. I'm talking about kids that love their crown. You didn't know, Miss Danita, whether them little ones were going to turn loose of that crown or not. But every one of them laid that crown down. And many of them, instead of coming up like this and laying the crown down, bowing, laying the crown down, and coming down like this, many of them came down like this. They never took their eyes off of what they were seeing. I believe a day's coming soon when we'll never have to take our eyes off of Him again. Amen. There'll be no distractions. But I don't know about you. In the illustration, in that play, or that program, we didn't do it with the little ones. It would be hard for them to play the part. But we had several teenagers, Brother Steve, that made the trip without a crown. And they wept. They bowed. But they had nothing to lay at His feet. Like it or not, that's what the Bible teaches. There'll be some saved, the Word of God said, so as by fire. They trusted Jesus, Brother John, that precious blood had been applied that you preached about this morning. But they never found the will of God for their life. They never found the purpose of God for their life. They just never went to work for Jesus. I don't know about you, but I believe if God gives us another year, we ought to just be thinking about the finish line. What if? What if? What if? What if He comes? Will we be found doing what He wants us to do? Living how He wants us to live. Being what He wants us to be. It's a sobering thought. James chapter number 4. Some things we need to give attention to as we look into another year.